It's 2018. What are the biggest terrorism-related threats that New Jersey will face in the year ahead? Listen to a preview of our annual terrorism threat assessment on the season premiere of Intelligence Unclassified.
This is Director Jared Maples of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Welcome back to Season 3 of Intelligence Unclassified, a podcast about counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. Join us as we talk to local and national experts in these fields to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and offer you a unique perspective on current trends and issues facing our great state. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed, iTunes, or Google Play. You can also follow NJOHSP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJOHSP. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website, www.njohsp.gov.
Hi, everybody. My name is Allison Toll, and I'm an intelligence analyst here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Today, I have with me here my colleagues, Paige and Travis. We're actually all going to be talking about what has been a very long process in putting together our 2018 New Jersey Threat Assessment, which we're very excited to be releasing shortly. So let me just start off by asking the two of you, how is this particular threat assessment specific to the state of New Jersey?
Our threat assessment really looks at the risk to the state. So, you know, nationally, there's threat assessments that are put out by federal agencies like DHS and FBI, and they look at a national level. So our perspective is specifically to the state. What groups do we see here? And really what we dive into is what did activity look like in 2017? And what do we expect for 2018? So the product overall is really forward leaning. And we hope that residents and law enforcement can read it and get a sense of the threat that New Jersey is at risk for from extremist groups.
And how is it that we go about assessing that threat from these different groups?
So we assess each group by looking at three main points: intent, capability, and presence. And based on the spectrum and our assessed threat level, that's how we come up with high, moderate, and low threats.
And I always like to point out that sometimes a group can be very capable, right? Like a group like Hezbollah, for example, has a lot of resources, has a lot of training and money. But if the intent isn't there, they don't say they want to attack, there's no indications of threat to a specific area, then they're ranked lower. And also, we really hone in on presence. So are these groups here? Are there operatives here in our state or in the area? And if not, are there supporters and sympathizers as well? So all of that kind of gets mushed together into our methodology to determine threat.
And one last point on the intent, capability, and presence is something we like to explain to our audience, especially when we brief out the threat assessment, is the threat from ISIS. ISIS is typically in the news a lot. It gets a lot of attention, but it is only a moderate threat on our assessed levels. And that's because while they do have the intent to attack New Jersey and the broader United States, they don't have the capability or presence in the state. Rather, they inspire homegrown violent extremists, which is our highest threat to do so.
So Travis, you just mentioned that ISIS is a moderate threat. So I think the natural question is, what is it that we assess as a high threat and why? I see that in the threat assessment that we rank HVEs as the greatest and most persistent threat. This is the same as last year in the threat assessment. Why has this threat remained persistent in 2018?
As Travis was saying, we get a lot of questions about this, right? So ISIS is moderate, and people are always like, why is ISIS only moderate? And that's because we rank homegrown violent extremists, as you said, as the highest threat. So these are individuals that are inspired but not directed by a foreign terrorist organization. So perhaps they're consuming propaganda, they're not receiving any financial or logistical help from the organization itself, but they're conducting attacks in furtherance of that ideology. And this year we had two individuals from New Jersey. One conducted an attack in New York City. And the other was arrested for planning an attack. So again, the threat from HVEs is what we saw last year, and that will continue according to our threat assessment.
Throughout the threat assessment, we cover both international and domestic terrorism. So would you say that it's safe to say that people who are looking at this approximate 50-page document can skip to whichever part they find interesting, whether it be domestic terrorism or international terrorism?
Absolutely. Every piece in this threat assessment kind of stands on its own. It was designed that way for the purpose of providing any audience, law enforcement, the public, private partners, with information to the threat of New Jersey. So the landscape is very large and wide. And we see threats from militias, white supremacists, all the way to foreign terrorist organizations like you've seen. The structure of the threat assessment lays that out nice and clean. We're starting with homegrown violent extremists as the highest threat and moving into moderate and low threats, which is a combination of both DT and IT groups.
And what are some of the trends that we've seen in 2018 that are different in some years past?
So I'll start with domestic terrorism. So particularly this year, we saw kind of a larger propensity of violence among domestic terrorist groups fighting each other, especially at violent protests. We saw a willingness of domestic extremist groups to travel across state lines. And we also saw the influence of foreign powers on domestic terrorist groups through false propaganda campaigns and other means of social media.
Both domestic and international, we really highlight trends that we see. When you look at HVE, the trends that we highlight are vehicle ramming attacks. Obviously, this past year, there's quite a few in Europe. And we really dive into why that is. So we talk about how easy it is, obviously, to acquire a vehicle, how these attacks really don't require much planning. Also, in terms of international groups like ISIS, we focus on foreign fighters. For a long time, there was this belief that foreign fighters were going to come back and conduct attacks at home. So we really challenge that assumption by stating that it seems like most foreign fighters are either staying overseas or they're dying in combat. Overall, throughout the entire threat assessment, we do highlight trends and what we expect to see in 2018 for all three categories that we consider.
So you guys touched on both domestic and international terrorism in this 2018 threat assessment. But I'm just curious, looking back, now that we've all been involved in several iterations of the threat assessment over the years past, what has changed about the format of this threat assessment? How has it evolved over the years?
So this year's threat assessment, along with the past few years that we've been publishing these, has kind of taken a different approach. In the past, we might have published law enforcement sensitive products and only really distributed that to our law enforcement community. However, in the past 3 years, we focused on pushing this information out publicly. And that's really been one of the mission spaces of our office, is to push information out to the public, to make them aware, to give them tips of how to make themselves more resilient and the state safer. But beyond that, we look at the threat assessment, and when we write it, I ask the question all the time, will my mom be able to read this and understand it? So if I use an acronym, am I explaining what that acronym is? A lot of times in law enforcement, there's a lot of acronyms that are thrown around. So this particular document is written so anyone can understand it and anyone can get a better sense of the threat certain extremist groups pose to our state.
Paige, I think that rings true. If you look at the different sections of this threat assessment, we talk about the highest threat to the state, homegrown violent extremists, and then we talk about domestic terrorism. There's a section on how international terrorist groups are preparing for 2018. But then we conclude this entire threat assessment with a section on how can we work together. And we cover topics like how to report suspicious activity, how various companies can remove online content that might have an extremist influence, and how behavioral health comes into play. You know, when we take a look at threats, it's not just the physical component of harming people and infrastructure, but also there are psychological impacts to that as well. So I think by including that last section on how we can work together, it helps empower people so that we, as the state of New Jersey, can be more resilient.
To add to that point, this year we also tried to kind of create more of a statewide threat assessment by bringing in that behavioral component from the Department of Health. And they offer great services to the state of New Jersey, especially during disasters and terrorism-like incidents. And that's what we really want to hone on, that this threat assessment is not just for telling you about the different types of threats New Jersey faces, but it's also educating you in ways to help keep New Jersey more resilient and safe.
Paige, you kind of touched on this earlier. I'm curious both of your thoughts. You had mentioned that the federal government and other organizations put out various forms of threat assessments annually. What do we have here in New Jersey that is unique at the state level for us to put out our own threat assessment?
New Jersey's in an interesting location. We're kind of in between New York City and Washington, D.C. We have Philadelphia right across the river. So we are the corridor between these major cities. And a lot of activity kind of seems to move through New Jersey. So we are kind of positioned well to talk about a lot of these topics.
Not only are we uniquely situated as a state, but also our analysts are trained specifically to analyze threat both on a national and international level, but also they're trained specifically to look at case information in the state to determine threat ranking. So this is unique, right? They're looking at the threat from ISIS and what's going on in Yemen and Syria, but also working with our investigators, having access to that case information to really have a unique perspective on threat.
I would think that the large amount of critical infrastructure between, you know, having Newark Liberty Airport and the largest port on the entire East Coast, not to mention, a very densely populated area, would probably contribute to the fact that we are kind of unique in assessing a specific threat to our state. So with that, I just wanted to ask you guys a little bit about your thoughts on the process of putting this threat assessment together. What specifically did you like and dislike about this process?
So I'll speak to that. So the process is really, really long and thorough. Each analyst kind of is tasked out at the beginning to start to discuss and write about their different portfolio items. So for example, I had Al-Qaeda and other groups that I started to write about and discuss what topics were appropriate for the threat assessment. Now, other analysts were focused on Hezbollah or other domestic terrorist groups. Once we start to draft these items for the threat assessment, that process takes kind of a few months to perfect. And then we get to the formatting and design. And that is a whole nother level of complexity where our team was really hands-on with working with the communications department to put together all of our great content in a nice, easy, readable format for the public.
Allison, this is my third threat assessment, and it definitely does get easier, right? Like, you get kind of into the mentality of what needs to be accomplished to push this out. But I will say that we put in a lot of work, and there's a lot of vetting, there's a lot of arguing over what words mean, there's a lot of back and forth, to say the least. But at the end, the product that we produce, we're all really proud of, and that work really shines through.
Is it a safe bet to say that various intel shops that are putting together threat assessments should probably start the process early, given everything that you're talking about?
Absolutely. You know, you have to plan ahead of time, at least a few months. But as that starts to happen, you know, we've had to go back because new things have happened since we started back in July, I think. We've had to update our products, update our numbers, put in new products for relevant incidents that have happened since then. So, you know, we're constantly having to go back and check. But yes, it is imperative you start a few months ahead of time.
Yeah, so we've definitely described like a long process. And I don't want to discourage other intel shops from taking on this challenge because it really is worth it. For us, we use this as a foundational document for the rest of the year. We'll be out briefing law enforcement, the public, different critical infrastructure groups on this threat assessment. And also, it really helps us check our analysis, because next year when we do the 2019 threat assessment, we're going to look back to this one and say, you know, where did we miss the mark if we did, and how can we fix that? So it's a really great way to check yourself and really grow analytically.
You mentioned that this product is very forward-leaning. Do you think that helps throughout the year to be able to use this as a living document when you're going out and conducting your briefs?
I think so. I think this is a jumping off point for a lot of other product ideas. And like I mentioned before, each product in this threat assessment is a standalone piece. In doing that, we kind of offer a platform for each of those topics to be expanded on, whether that be podcasts, whether that be bundles of products we can release together, or whether that be more law enforcement sensitive products we release in the future. So this is just a platform to really produce more in 2018, and we're all looking forward to that.
Any last minute items that you guys want to talk about with regard to the threat assessment?
I mean, it's going to be released shortly. So I hope everyone reads it and everyone enjoys it. And as always, we're interested in your feedback on the threat assessment itself. There'll be information of how to contact the Analysis Bureau, and we welcome that.
We're going to be producing and releasing a webinar a few days after the release of the threat assessment, where we're going to bring the whole team in to discuss the different topics and trends in much more depth than Paige and I and you have done today, Allison. So we're looking forward to that as well.
And so if anybody has any questions about the threat assessment or wants to know more about any of the particular areas that we discuss, we're always available. All of our analysts are very responsive. So I'm just going to ask everybody two favors to sum this up. Please do go on iTunes and rate us. The feedback certainly helps us. Let us know what your opinions are of the threat assessment as it comes out, end of this podcast and the webinar. Are there particular topics that you'd really like to know more about? And please do email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov with any of these questions or recommendations. We just want to make sure all of our products are relevant. Otherwise, we're wasting your time. So, you know, like Paige and Travis said, you know, we are very excited about this threat assessment and hope that you enjoy. So thanks, Travis and Paige, for joining me today.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at @NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.